to us?
Brother Hunt?
Stand up and testify.
The Lord has been good to me.
Yes, he has.
So brought me out of a horrible pit, set my feet on a solid rock, established my goals.
Yes. And that is,
he did for me what I couldn't do for myself.
Amen.
I love him. He's awesome. I just want to serve him all the days of my life.
Thank you, Lord.
All right.
Lord, what an awesome God to serve.
Amen.
There is none like him. I say there's none like him.
Hallelujah.
All right.
So good to be here. And it's so good to have Alex and Kenny. It's bad to have them.
Amen.
And Lord,
amen.
And the rest of you, God is so good. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. And the first verse, 1 Corinthians 11, and verse 1. Talk a little bit in the hearing about following Christ. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You may be seated. Here, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church, and he's telling them, I'm going to be your example, and you follow me as I follow him, and everything is going to be okay.
Yes.
This verse is seemingly misplaced at the first, because it could be, and rightly should be, the subject matter of chapter 10. Mm-hmm. Just three verses earlier in 31, Paul admonishes them, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Yes.
Right.
This was also how Christ lived his life. Doing things the right way.
Yes.
Doing things in the perfect manner. And the apostles strove to do the same. To imitate Christ. And to imitate him, we must live our life a living sacrifice.
Yes. Right.
What a strange thing, a strange concept in a world in which we live today. Where people are so selfish. What a crazy society. And I'm not trying to Debbie down everything because I don't live that way.
All right.
Boss told me the other day, he said, man, I talked to my son this morning. He said, I talk to him every morning. Every morning I talk to him, he's asking me about the eclipse that's coming and all of this. And I said, so after a little while of conversation headed to camp, I said, so you're trying to say he's a pessimist? He said, he is. Don't know what a pessimist is?
Yes.
A pessimist looks at a glass of water that's half full and determines that the glass is half empty.
Right.
I'm an optimist.
Right.
I have to look the other way around. The glass is half full.
Yeah.
There's still a half a glass of water left. So when I look at the world and the society, I know the direction that it's heading in, but I look at the good around about us. That helps me live.
Right. Right.
I look at God as merciful in the midst of a crazy world. God is still here.
Right.
And that's how I live. And I told him, I said, man, I couldn't live in a world where I got up every morning and thought about how negative everything was.
Right.
And I said, by the way, Bob, where do you get that from?
All
right. He said, his grandpa.
Somebody else.
We inherited it from somebody. Somebody begin to talk a certain way to us, and we begin to own it as adults and teenagers or whatever, and then we develop a society in our mind and our world, and you know, Flip Wilson says, you see what you're prepared to see.
Right.
You see what you are prepared to see. In other words, you see what you're looking for. You see what you want to see.
Yeah.
And what I want to see in this crazy world and this dark world is a loving Christ that's still able to change and deliver. And I want to follow after him. Because we got to live and we come back in this place.
Amen.
Sacrifice.
Yes,
sir. Sacrifice. Life goes better when we learn to sacrifice.
All right, right.
We can imitate Christ, not in a sense of enduring the agony upon that cross, but by being obedient, walking in his footsteps.
Yes.
1 Peter 2:21 talks about that. And by showing love and thankfulness to him by keeping his precepts.
Yes.
What is your love scripture? Remember a few Sundays ago we talked about that? We talked about it. What is your love scripture? What do you think of when you think of love? Vince, you got your love scripture ready?
Yes.
This is a 2-week long homework assignment.
Of course, I forgot my Bible today, though.
You need my glasses? Are you looking for it? Somebody else, what's your love scripture, Brother Billy? You probably wasn't even here that Sunday. What do you think of when you think about love? You know, a lot of people, I've determined this. I'm a little older than what I used to be. And I've found that not everybody knows how to love right. For the most part, our, if you want to call it that, our lover is broken. We have this concept and this idea of love that basically might not be lined up totally to God's Word and God's will. And people in the world today, as a whole for the most part, really don't understand what love is, you see. They've got this idea of God as some kind of big mush, and well, God loves everybody, preacher. Yes, He does. Every soul that goes to hell, God still loves. God loved Judas Iscariot just as much as He did the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and John.
Right?
But there is really no such thing as unconditional love in our mind and concept in our world. Only Jesus knows about unconditional love.
Right.
That means He loves you no matter what. But unless you let that love affect you and change you, that love will do nothing for you and you will die in hell. Right. Because you don't really understand really the value of what true love is.
Right.
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 Amen.
Love has conditions.
Not the first amen.
Right. Go ahead.
But love makes sacrifices.
Right.
Yeah.
Love is conditional.
Right. Yes.
In the essence of what love is, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Because you love your children. You get up and you go to work when your knees hurt and your back hurts and you grab whatever tool or instrument that you're using and you provide for that child because you love them.
Right.
And that same love embraces them when they start walking and they fall and bust their knee or like Sam standing that needs a helmet because he falls on everything he can. We don't have no coffee tables. We took them out when Daniel started walking. And we ain't never got them back. And thank God, he's bruised up enough as he is. But love embraces them and hugs them. But that same love, when he goes to run out that door, runs and grabs him up and puts an old hand right on his backside and says, "Pow! I told you not to run to that grave."
Right.
Why? Because we know that road can kill him. That's that same love. No man. We used to sing a song when I grew up. We sung it. Beloved, let us love one another. For thus love is of God, and everyone that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Did any of y'all have that scripture for your love scripture? Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And it was a song. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 is where it's found. Vince, you got your love scripture. You ready?
Yes.
All right, throw it out there.
Romans 8 and 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Tribulation.
Trouble, distress. You see, this is what people do in the world. Hold on, I'm going to preach from your Bible verse right there. I'm not going to preach all your Bible verses, by the way. You see, love, if you truly love, there is no separation that can come between you because you love.
Right.
People in the world today want to go through hardships. My mother's lost 3 husbands, and people would tell her, "Oh, it's so amazing that you still love God." Mm-hmm. You see, here comes the optimist. She loved God. Because she loves Him, she's very brilliant. And she keeps on going and keeps loving and keeps trusting that a God that is able and willing and could heal didn't choose to do the things that she wanted to do, but love says, "I'm going to trust."
Right.
That's why Job, in the face of all the hardships and the things that he went through, probably more than just about any man that lived, especially his time and his life.
Okay, read on. Nothing will separate us from that love. Tribulation.
Persecution.
Persecution.
Or famine.
Famine.
Or nakedness.
Nakedness.
Peril.
Peril.
Or sword.
Sword.
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. May in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
More than conquerors through him that loved us.
For I am persuaded that neither death nor
life. I'm persuaded. He's got a made up mind.
Right.
Now, this is a guy that was beaten.
Yes.
How many times?
Oh, right. At least 10.
3 times, he said. 40 stripes, day one. You know why? Because that was the legal limit that you could beat somebody. It was 39 stripes, and that was it. You know why? Because when they put the whip on you, they knew. They were so good at what they'd done. They had a calculator, Brother Skinner. 40 stripes killed most men every time. And they took you to the brink of death with that whip. And he got up somehow and walked away from that somehow. And he went to another town and he began to preach again.
Right.
Wow. Shipwreck. You name it. He went through it. But he said, you know what? I'm persuaded that nothing is going to separate me from this love affair that I have with the Lord.
Right.
Kind of like marriage. Everything will come against you.
True.
Right.
You ever fight with your in-laws? But I'm not talking about, you know, that. Argument, disagreement. And what do you do? I must go home. And then a few days later, or weeks, or whatever it was, honey, I want to go see my mom. Okay, let's go. And you walked in the door, and you walked over again, and you hugged him, and you loved him, and you kissed him. Why? Because you love. And look, oh,
that's right.
When you love, nothing can separate you. Love is really the essence of what sacrifice is. Used to be a song that said, to know me is to love me. Think about how true that really is. Because when you know someone, that's when it becomes difficult. You get up with them every morning. You get up with them every night. You see all the things. And you have to get up and put your optimist hat back on and go, when I started this, I was in the right mind.
Yeah.
Right. They paint love in our world to be a pretty picture. But love really is a picture of commitment.
Sure.
Did you finish your scripture? Read the last one.
Nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now you know what he's talking about there when he says any creature. He's not talking about horses and cows.
Right.
He's talking about peoples. God's two living creatures that walk among us.
Right.
Nobody will want to separate me.
Right.
Things that he went through. Somebody else got your love scripture?
Proverbs 17:17.
A friend.
At all times.
Loveth at all times.
Yes. And brother is born for adversary.
What's adversity? Adversity. A friend loveth at all times. But a brother is born for adversity. He come in the office, as I stayed a little bit before church and finished it up. Dad, what's the meaning of that word there? That brother is born for adversity. Does that mean brother like flesh and blood brother? No, that's a wide term. But it means somebody that's close to you.
Right.
You see,
There's a different step when you go beyond the friendship and the infatuation and the coming together and falling in love. You know, you fall in love on those babies when they're born. Oh my goodness, they're so beautiful.
First could be that.
Mom! Mayday! Clean up on aisle three! Woo! That's bad! We need some help over here. And they grow up and, you know, they start back talking and, you know, man, it's hard to have good kids. It takes a lot of work to have good kids. And you love them and you start working on them. What was the other day I said the other day about the diaper situation? So let that baby start over, I think it was. Sometimes that's what we feel like when they hit those terrific twos. They call them terrible twos. I call them terrific twos. You know why? Because you can't understand it. Take your pasty out so I can hear you. And then it sounds the same. But you endure and you put up with them and you keep going.
Yes.
Friend loveth at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. You see, Christians who love God with the full heart, soul, and mind, love their neighbors, love their neighbors as their self. They will do everything they can to please the Lord. Because it's a love relationship. Why do y'all act the way you act? Why do you dress the way you dress? Go to the places that you go to and don't go to the places maybe that some others would go. Listen, it's a love relationship. I don't want to do anything that will hurt the Lord. Well, I wouldn't want to serve God with conditions and boundaries like that. I got a job that's got conditions and boundaries. They tell me what kind of clothes to wear.
Right.
When you hit the clock, you got to put on these big heavy boots with steel toes in them.
Yep.
You can't leave the office without your hard hat, your safety glasses, and your gloves. I mean, it's just crazy to work with rules. Well, it's not. It's for my own protection.
Right.
We had to sign a waiver when we started Brother Billy. You consent to being recorded all the time when you're in that truck. You have a camera. It's got an eye pointing at you and an eye pointing away from you. The camera does what they call loop recording. There's only supposed to be one person in the whole state of Florida that can watch you instant on. But what happens is if you hit your brakes real hard, whatever happened in a traffic situation, that camera then goes off to be record you. I had a wreck one time. I train a lot of guys and they say, man, I don't like that. Well, sure, you will love that when you have an accident.
Right.
Because if you have nothing to hide, all you got to do is go, I got a camera.
Right.
Had a wreck and a guy got out. What in the world happened? Man, sit down. Are you okay? I was trying to make sure he was okay. I thought he was in shock. And after a little bit, the police started to come. He said, can you now tell me what happened? You understand I'm not in shock. I'm calm. I said, well, I've got a camera. I was in the right lane going down 60 at 55 miles an hour. And you came into the hammer lane. And I assumed when I looked at my left mirror, it was all clear that you was going to continue in that lane. I was going to continue. How in the world can you not see 70,000 pounds of white truck? And he didn't come right beside me. You know what? I said, I got a camera. The police come, you know what he said? My fault. I don't know if it would have been that way if he wouldn't have had a camera. But you see, when you understand the rules, you just live by them, everything's okay.
Right.
Why I live the way I live? Because I want to be pleasing unto him. I want to be acceptable unto him.
Right.
It's just a reasonable service.
Yeah.
Brother Skinner, what's your love scripture?
John 3:16-17.
Oh, yes.
Easy one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
You know those two Bible verses will really change you?
Yeah.
If you sit and understand them and read what that's saying and put in your heart, it will change you.
Yes. Yes.
You see, because he loved us, he sacrificed.
Right.
He realized, Brother Hunt, that we was in a mess and we couldn't save ourselves.
Right.
And we was sent to hell. Do not pass up. Do not get $200. The provision was made for Adam and Eve and so on and so forth all down the line. And you would find a God every once in a while that would try to walk right.
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 I mean, they just stuck out a little bit here and there.
Right.
There was Noah. Noah! God said, build a boat because you found grace.
Right.
And I preached a whole message about that one time. Noah found grace. Somebody say he found it.
Right.
Did God love those people that was outside of the ark that got killed and drowned? Yes, he did. But Noah found what others did not have. You know how Noah found grace? He was trying to be pleasing in God's sight. He was offering sacrifice and said, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do today. Lord, I want to look like you want me to look like. Same thing that we're looking for salvation.
Oh, preacher, it's easy to be saved. No, it's not neither. You've listened to a man, not the Bible.
Amen.
Right, right.
It takes time to be saved.
Yes.
There's a lot of hidden golden nuggets in the Word.
Yes.
But back to John 3:16, he loved and he gave.
Right.
Read the next verse again. Talks about condemnation. We live in such condemnation.
It says, for God sent not His Son unto the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
He didn't send His Son. He didn't robe Himself in flesh and come to condemn us. Quit being condemned when you come to church. I preached another message one time about the difference between conviction and condemnation. We don't know the difference a lot of times.
Right.
We have, what was it here Sunday morning, Brother Ed, 45? He said, man, we have a good crowd. But, you know, I've learned to feel, and you can feel the Spirit, and then you can watch people, and you can see conviction get a hold of people, and they start talking, they start fishing, they start looking, they start doing all this stuff. They've experienced that. They don't understand it.
Right.
Kind of feels like fear to them or something. Because they ain't learned. That's a good thing. That means God loves you. When you start feeling conviction and you start feeling that Spirit pull on you, that means God loves you and He's there with you.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
He didn't come to condemn us. Right. It's not my job to condemn you. It's my job to preach the Word and preach truth. But you got to learn. It's like your wife. Well, let's go back to that. Who was that? Come on. Good job. I don't like how your hair looks. You shouldn't say that.
Right.
You shouldn't do that. Whatever it may be. Brother Skinner, do you like that when your wife gets on to you? Can you say that out loud?
No.
How many years you been married?
Almost 50.
That's golden, ain't it?
Amen.
That's golden, right? I'm trying to learn what you're supposed to be. I'm trying to learn the colors. But she's a helpmeet, the Bible says. And they're trying to help.
Yeah.
And he's put up with them for 50 years because he loves her.
Right.
But I feel this day when Mama's trying to help me. And I help her by the way, too. Yeah. No stories needed. No stories on this one. But I get, Brother Billy, when she's trying to help me and lift me up and encourage me to do a little better, I get to walk up and go, thank you so much for that, baby.
Right.
Still feel like a little root boy for some reason. It's our natures.
Right.
And so the same thing happens in church if we're not careful. God's trying to pull us up a little higher because He loves us, and we walk away from like a whipped puppy. Instead, it's because He loves us that He corrects us and He helps us.
Right, amen.
Don't come around and feel condemned. Like what Brother Vincent said the other day, there's no condemnation here. None.
Right.
None. We don't condemn. He loves us. We do everything to please Him. So how can a person sacrifice himself before the God he says he loves without doing the works until those sacrifices? Paul exhorts us in Ephesians 5:1-2.
Be ye therefore followers of God as your children. Somebody say children. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. That's an aroma. You ever, you know, there's people that, you know, wear lots of cologne. And you get around them and you smell them. And you go, hey, what is that? That smells pretty good. If you're a man, and it's a man. I don't do that to women because they get the wrong idea. And I ain't getting no credit for my homie. I'll say, man, what is that? That smells pretty good. That's not Old Spice. That's not Route 33. That smells pretty good. Now, I don't wear a lot of cologne because of the toxicity. It's 99% toxic. So, yeah. It's like walking to the house and your wife's cooked cabbage. That's not a sweet smelling savor. The world, or that is frying food. My wife's got the fan on and the window open, and you smell it about 3 miles away, so the house don't smell like all these fried foods. But it smells good to me.
Right.
It's not fish. Fried chicken for 3 miles, that's beautiful. That's like heaven. But there's something about our attitude and our sacrifice before God that it makes a smell and aroma that God likes and He cares about it when His people are going, Lord, I just want to be pleasing in your sight.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Love. Love is extremely rewarding. Let's say that together. Love.
Love
is extremely rewarding.
Extremely
rewarding. Yet also costly, since the one who loves will have to understand sacrifice.
Right.
Because he loves, you sacrifice, you give. Sacrifice is love's very essence. We can illuminate Paul's thought of Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 by placing it in a larger context. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10 kind of all joins together. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Everybody say through faith.
Through
faith. We've talked about this, and most understand this. It's a kind of an unscriptural concept that a lot of people believe that you're saved by grace alone.
Right.
It's not biblical.
Right.
You're saved by faith alone. Now, the saying that preaches you're saved by grace alone say you're saved by faith alone. You know you can't have two alones. You can't have two alones.
Right.
That's why God said He was God alone. And so there is no God the Father alone. And then there's the Son and the Holy Ghost. Because when He's alone, He's the big chief and He's the only one.
Right.
There's none like Him. There's none with Him. It's Him and Him alone. And when you just understand, when you see Jesus, just like He told His disciples, you've seen the Father. There's only one. His name is Jesus.
Amen. Right.
The Father is Jesus.
Yes.
Hello? The fleshly form was God robed in the flesh. That's why you could not kill Him until He looked up on that Thursday morning, looked up to the heavens, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right.
And I commend my spirit back to you, because He was God in the flesh, and you can't kill God.
Right, right.
So the Spirit had to leave Him. The Spirit that, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but the Spirit that was the Eternal had to leave so He could die. And then, when they put Him in a grave and put a stone on it, the Spirit came back.
Right.
He went to hell first and took the keys and got a little rock'em sock'em with the devil and said, give me them. Right. I've been waiting on this day to take back what Adam gave to you. We're going to now have power over you like we've never had before. Give me those keys.
Right.
And the devil said, what are you doing here?
You don't have right. And he says, oh,
yes, I did have right. Because I come through the womb of a woman. And I am sinless. And I am Jesus. And you give me those keys. Because I now will have the power of death and call the grave. He surrendered it to Adam. Adam surrendered to the devil. And Jesus took him back.
Right, man.
And he walks right back up into a grave. And goes right back into a body. And gets up. And folds the napkin, lays it there, puts the clothes on the side, and walks up with his little pinky to a stone and goes, and they never found it again. And he walked out of the grave. And he walked among men
right.
for 50 days.
Yeah.
Everybody say Pentecost Sunday's coming.
Yeah.
50 days from Sunday, Resurrection Sunday to Pentecost is 50 days. He walked with the disciples and talked with them before he went back to heaven.
Yes.
Let's read on. So, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now we'll stop there for a minute, because a lot of preachers say, see right there? No works can save you. It's not of works of man. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Salvation is a need of free gift. It can't be earned by works alone. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
But it wasn't Christ alone either. Faith without works is dead. It's what he done and what you do because of that. We don't do good works, you know what, to get God. We do good works because we have God.
Yeah.
Salvation is this free gift, and it can't be earned by works alone. Yet, after saving us from our sin, God requires us to do works. So let's say amen.
Right.
We are to perform the work that he has laid out before him for us to accomplish. In fact, verse 10, standing by itself, asserts that to do these good works is the very reason that we have received justification. Somebody else, who's else got a love scripture? Brother Hunt, what you got for love?
1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Mm-hmm. Read it one more time.
Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives
right.
for the brethren.
I thought we already had the love. I got you thinking now, though. You see, there's a difference in somebody loving you and you accepting that love.
Right.
Those people I was talking about that go to hell, they haven't received it. They didn't accept it. When you accept the gift, it changes you. You ever try to give somebody something and they wouldn't take it?
Yeah.
I have. It's rare, but I got.
Right.
Like, no, I don't want that. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't understand why you don't want this. I'm trying to give you a gift. I don't want it. Well, why not? Can you help me with that, please? Well, because if I accept a gift of you, then there's going to be strings attached.
Right.
I'm going to owe you. You're going to put something in my bank account. Later on, you might need to withdraw. And now I'm going to feel obligated to help you because you helped me.
Right.
Duh! We're all going to need help one day. I had a preacher one time, and I went to preach out of town, and it was just the way my dad was. It was his nature. He put that in me. You don't ask for nothing.
Right.
Hello? You don't beg for nothing? And so, we'd go off and preach, vacation or whatever, see my brother, and preach to somebody, and I had an Indian brother one time, a little short guy, and give me a love offer, and I said, oh, whatever! You keep that, don't you worry about that. What a mistake I just made. He chewed me up and spit me out, happy feeling down here before I got done.
this house break, what else is going to say? You know what he's going to tell me?
Don't you ever refuse me to get my blessing because you're standing in the way of me getting my blessing. The Bible says you're worthy of your hire. And when you preach, I'm obligated to give to you as unto the Lord. And then God's obligated to give back to me because I've done what God said. So don't you refuse my offering.
I didn't ever do that again.
Right.
I don't do that no more. Woo! When somebody tries to give you something, well, you know what? I don't need it. We'll be all right. I know that, you know. But you know what? If you're going to give it out to the Lord, I'm going to take it. I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to bless you both.
Right.
That's the end of that. He received it. He read about these people receiving. You see, when you're receiving, something happens. There's an exchange.
Right.
We learned this in elementary school. We started writing on notes. Well, I think I like her. I love you. Do you love me? Check yes or no. I don't know what to do nowadays. I'll be afraid to see. You know what she was doing? You were sending a little message.
Right.
And you would wait on the response.
Right.
And if they smart, they made you wait a while. And then when you open that letter, you use nervous anticipation.
She likes me. She's awful cute. Or whatever. And if they happen to check yes and send it back, I'm the man.
Right.
Why? Because they received it and accepted it and returned with that final response. And then they started working on a relationship. We started working toward that. Started making Google eyes and all this other stuff, you know, smiling and you couldn't do your schoolwork anymore. What's your grades going down? Remember somebody come to me one time and said, your son said, see your son look a girl a certain way. I said, thank you. He looked at me like, what in the world just happened? I said, I'm so glad my boys are two girls. And that was my exact response. I'm glad it's infatuated with the opposite sex. Yeah, that's real funny now. That's 25, 30 years ago. Well, maybe not quite that long, but anyway. He was infatuated probably then, but you know, you're glad that they're heading the right direction.
Right.
They're not questioning certain things. But we accepted his love. And when we accept his love, it begins to change us into his image and his likeness.
Yes. Right.
We are his workmanship. And I'm closing, the Bible said, created in Christ Jesus. Somebody say workmanship.
Workmanship.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You see, that means that God is working on us. And we're allowing him to work on us. Before we begin being saved, we were not like Christ because we was not Christians. God's creative process brought us into Christ Jesus. And once there, he continued to shape us and mold us and make us. We begin to understand what living is all about. We begin to understand what love is all about. We begin to understand what being in Christ is all about. And we learn to love people.
One last verse. Let's all stand. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. Oh, this is a beautiful verse about being shaped and molded and made as he continues to work on us. We're trying to be made in the image of Christ. Verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, somebody say we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord.
We're looking in a mirror. And we're seeing what we are in one sense. In another sense, we're seeing the glory. And where God wants us to be. Remember, it's the glory of the Lord. and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory.
Yes, sir.
Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, I looked up those glories just a while ago. I want to know what those glories meant, if they was all the same or different, you know, in the New Testament. Greek, you know, love has many different facets of it. When Jesus told Peter, if you love me one time, if you love me two, if you love me three, it was different avenues of love. It was deeper and deeper. But I wondered, what about these glories? What is it? You know what these glories, they're all the same word. Where our face is open and we're beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord. That glory means dignity, glorious, honor, praise, and worship. And because I'm looking into that glass and that mirror of His Word, if you will, and I'm looking at His dignity, and I'm being changed into the same image that He has for me from praise and worship. The more I come and the more I praise and the more I worship, the more I'm being changed into His image. It's more than a feeling. We all didn't start out looking just like we look right now, acting just like we sounding just like we sound right now.
Right.
But we keep coming back to the heart of worship.
Yes.
We keep coming back to the place of praise.
Hallelujah.
And it keeps working on us through worship and through praise. Worship is different. Worship is deeper. But you start with praise and adoration.
Right.
It's like children, they start growing up and they start understanding, and a lot of times they're a whole lot smarter than what we give them credit for. I get tickled sometimes at 3 or 4 year olds that we need to play for mom and dad, and they don't have enough sense to understand it. The parents don't. But then our kids learn that if they'll go talk nice to mom and dad, they can get about whatever they want. Grandma. And they'll start saying, I sure do love you. We'll say, I love you too, but we're out of chocolate. Well, that ain't chips. They want something, so they begin to play on our emotions. You know what? They've learned that praise begins to give them something. And we learned that when we praise Him, you know what happens when you start praising God? You start feeling better. Your troubles begin to lift away.
Right.
You start learning that you can praise your way through about any situation.
Right. Right.
And that worship is when you praise. You're going through some hard things that you don't understand.
Right.
Death comes. Disease comes. Start going, God, I've been faithful. Been faithful. Been faithful, Lord. Now this has come upon me. You know what you should do? You should just say, Lord, you make a difference. It's only temporal. It's just temporal, Lord. And I'm just going to, if you allow this to happen, I'm just going to deal with it. I'm just going to go on, God, because I love you. And I really don't care what happens in this life. I just want to be faithful. Oh, Christ. Bow your heads right now. Lord, we want to follow you. You know, when your peace and life comes from following you, the change of mind that you bring about, the change of perspective. Life brings hardships, separations, divorce, disease, sickness, loved ones passing away. I want to follow you. Through the hardships of life, I want to follow you. Storm as you did your disciples. I want to follow you.
Jesus. His name is Jesus. He can put your broken life all back together. He can put your broken world all back together. He can put your broken home all back together. He can put your broken mind all back together. Thank you, Jesus. Your wounded spirit, He has the antidote. Jesus.